Pastor Blair, of course, is still on vacation. Continue to pray for him as he travels home and that he's had a good time. When he gave me this assignment, I began looking at this and talking about Jesus the healer. And that's what we're going to talk about today from Mark chapter 7, verses 24 through 37. Mark chapter 7, verses 24 through 37. Instead of looking at each one of these two stories, I'm going to try to intertwine them into the outline that's in your bulletin. Each of them has a proposal to the healer that they make, and each of them sees the power of the healer displayed within their proposal that they made, and then at the end we'll see the proclamation of the healer and what was said about him. So that's what we'll look forward to as we participate in worship this day. Before we look into the Word, let's just pray together. Our Father, whenever we approach the Word, we want to approach it humbly. It's never the speaker, it's always you who need to receive the honor and glory for what takes place. We want the Spirit of God to be evident. We want the Word of God to have the priority. Help us to listen and help us speak for your honor and your glory. May this living Word of God be active within our hearts and lives this day. In Jesus' name, amen. As I looked at these two wonderful healing stories, the Syrophoenician woman, as well as the deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, I began thinking about the fact that so often I have prayed with, cried with, and talk to people who ask the question, why am I not healed? Should I pray for healing? Why does God heal some people and not others? What's the story? Because it isn't consistent. I do not believe that it is for God's honor and God's glory that everyone be healed. Now that may sound very sad when we're talking about God the healer. The greatest healing that God can do for you and for me is to heal our souls from the sin that has crept in within our lives because of the original sin of Adam. That's the greatest healing he does, and that's the healing that I can guarantee happens to all people if they let Jesus Christ be their Savior. But when we're talking about physical healing, I get a little fearful when we talk about Jesus as being the healer of everything. It's because that a person praying and may not be healed may either think negatively of the healer himself, meaning the Lord Jesus Christ, or think negative of their spiritual life to which they're living. And I think in both instances, things can be very wrong. God has other plans that we may not know of what those plans are. Here's an illustration from the Word of God that I'd like to share with you that shows this principle, I believe. David and Bathsheba committed adultery with each other, and there was a baby that came because of that adultery. Nathan had confronted David and so told David, "Now listen, you have sinned." And David said, "Will God forgive me?" And Nathan said, "God has forgiven you from that sin. Don't worry about it. It's forgiven." However, Nathan said, "Because of this deed which you have done, it has given occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. Therefore, the child who was born shall die." David began to pray very hard. David prayed for that baby that the Lord would not kill the baby. David prayed for healing. He fasted. He laid on the ground. David did not talk to anyone. 7 days later, the baby died. David was told the child was dead. David got up. He washed himself. He changed his clothes. And he began to worship and moved on with his life. A very unusual thing was said by the servants. Then the servants said to him in 2 Samuel 12, "What is this thing that you have done? While the child was alive, you fasted and wept. But when the child died, you arose and ate food." He said, well, while the child was still alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who knows, the Lord may be gracious to me, and my child may live. But now he has died. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I will go to him, but he will not return to me. The healer didn't heal? No, it was according to God's sovereign plan, according to God's will. Paul told Timothy, Trophimus, I left sick at Miletus. Paul told Timothy, no longer drink water exclusively, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and their frequent ailments. In the communion passage, for this reason, many are weak and many are sick and many sleep. Jesus Christ himself, it is stated in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8, although he was a son, yet he learned obedience from the things he suffered. John 15, Jesus at the pool of Bethsaida, and there was a lot of people, and the angels would come down and move the waters, and the first person into the water was healed. Out of all those people that were there at the pool, Jesus focused on one. 2 Kings 13 tells us about Elisha who had a sickness, and this sickness was to death. David comes around in Psalm 51. He says, make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken, talking to God, may they rejoice. I don't understand why it's according to God's plan and his will that some people do heal and others don't. But as I said a moment ago, the greatest healing is Jesus Christ in your heart and life. But the Lord's power is displayed for his needy creatures in many different ways. And so it is that we see in these two stories that the great power of God is displayed within these stories as we begin to look in verse 24 at the proposal that is made by this woman to our Lord. Jesus got up and went away to the region of Tyre, and when he had entered the house, he wanted no one to know it yet he could not escape notice. Isn't it amazing that wherever Jesus sat, he's known? He's known literally all over the world. He's known for who he is, and he can't escape notice. But the fact is, I don't really believe that they were going there just to rest. I believe they were guided and directed by the Spirit of God, guided and directed by a great God who knew that this woman and this man needed help. And so after Jesus was in this land of the Greeks, which was unusual for a man who was ministering to the Jews, after hearing that he was in their land, verse 25, a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately came and fell at his feet. As we talk about these proposals that are given to Jesus about the healing, the first thing that we want to notice is the woman came and fell at his feet. The woman came in a humble fashion to fall before the feet of the Lord and to ask her request. Do you know, sometimes I really believe we have a problem as we come before the healer with great boldness about what we believe he should do in our life, when we should just do the opposite. We should come before the healer, present our request before him in a humble fashion, expecting him to do what he wants to do in his time, in his way, for his honor and his glory. The woman came, she fell at his feet. She fell at his feet in humility over a situation that was very near and dear to her, and that was her little daughter. Isn't it amazing to think that so many problems come with little children? Little children very often die. Little children have diseases and problems and difficulties. It's heart-wrenching when you think and you see these little people having great problems. But this mother was so dedicated to the cause of this little daughter that she was willing to put herself before the healer in a humble fashion and say, heal my daughter from this unclean spirit. Do you know one of the greatest healings that Jesus Christ does is taking care of unclean spirits, evil spirits, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and evil. Jesus Christ came to take care of evil. And this woman came and said, my daughter has this evil spirit. Can you cast this evil spirit out? Jesus Christ is seen as his greatest work, to work against Satan. Work against Satan and his cohorts and his problems and his difficulties that he brings in the life of you and me. Jesus is battling the battle to which he was sent to do, to destroy the devil and evil in the situations that he found. Notice in verse 26, the woman was a Gentile. The woman was a Syrophoenician race, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. Now, Jesus came to minister to the Jew. He did not come to minister to the Greeks. This was really unusual at this time. This woman has come before Jesus and asked for this special request when she really wasn't deserving of it. But the truth is that you and I aren't deserving of any of the mercy and blessings that the Lord gives to us. He gives them to us because of his mercy and his grace and because his care for fallen people, which is you and me. Notice it said she kept asking him. If you go to the other passage, in Matthew 15, you find out that she kept asking him and Jesus was ignoring her. Do you know sometimes when we bring our petition before the healer, there is a time of silence. And we wonder sometimes why there is silence. Why isn't Jesus answering? Why aren't my prayers being answered? Why isn't the healing taking place? Is he hearing me? And the fact is, he was. He was hearing. He was listening to this request that was being made. Her prayers were being heard, but there was just a time of silence. So it is with you and I at times as we wonder what God is doing in those moments of silence. Here we have a Gentile person being spoken to by the Lord Jesus Christ, who was supposed to be ministering to the Jews. But remember, Mark wrote this book for the Greeks. Mark wrote his a gospel for the Greek readers. And what a great encouragement it would be for the Greek readers to read in here that Jesus is paying attention to Greek people. Of course, both of these stories have to do with Greek people. And what a blessing it is, as the Greek reader would be worrying, to know that Jesus pays attention to them. What a great encouragement. But did you notice the woman never actually said how he wanted to take care of this problem? She just said, will you cast out this evil spirit from my daughter? There's no other instructions. It was left up to the Lord, whatever he would see, whatever he would want to do. So the woman is asking him, and he says something very unusual to her, and that's in verse 27. He says, and he was saying to her, let the children be satisfied first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Now, I don't know about you, but when I first read that in this story, I said, what? Why is he saying this? Let the children be satisfied first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Well, the fact is, this is a very easy explanation, and let me explain it to you from probably your perspective. If you have a little dog in your home, and you have children in your home, whenever those children are eating, more than likely they drop stuff on the floor. And then when the child has dropped stuff on the floor, what does the little dog do but come around and vacuums the floor for you, right? We used to do that when we had our dog. We'd call Molly in, and Molly say, clean up the floor, and she'd just clean up all the scraps and everything else. So the two were part of our family. There was no doubt about it, the children and the dogs, but the children held a higher level of priority within our family. But the dogs got a little benefit from that, right? So what Jesus is saying to her is that, listen, the children who I've come to take care of have first priority, who are the Jewish people. But then there can be some bread and we'll throw it to the dogs, meaning the leftovers will be for the second in priority within our home, and those are the dogs, which are the Greeks. Now, that was a very common statement in that time as far as calling Greeks dogs, okay? It's stated in other portions of the Word of God also. But Jesus is saying to her, listen, first things first, the Jews need to be taken care of first, then the Greeks, secondary. Both are part of the family, both are part of the home, but they do not receive the same priority. But something that is really amazing in my estimation is her response in verse 28. But she answered and said to him, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs under the table feed on the children's crumbs." She comes back to the healer, and she tells him, yes, but there's great benefit to the dogs because of the crumbs that are dropped. She actually has put her place in a place of humility under the guidance and direction of the healer, saying, yes, I agree with you. I am a humble Greek. Yes, I agree with you. I am second in level of priority, but yet I can benefit from the crumbs that are dropped. The leftovers that the Jews don't have, that the Greeks can benefit from. And so it is that she comes back really submitting herself under the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice in verse 28, she says, "Yes, Lord." That word "Lord" means that she's putting herself under the priority of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you read once again the parallel passage in Matthew, when she first met the Lord Jesus Christ, she said, "Lord, Son of David." That's the way the Jews used to speak to Jesus at that time. And she had no right, no authority. She was not allowed to address Jesus in that fashion. So now the second time around, she, instead of calling him the Son of David, she said, "Yes, Lord," submitting herself under the authority of the healer. It's a beautiful picture of this woman as she addressed him as Lord, is basically saying, "Help me. I need help." In healing her daughter, Jesus certainly would not defraud Israel of anything, but would be a blessing to the Greeks. So, as we look at that one proposal, which was given by this wonderful Greek woman, "Please heal my daughter," let's transform our thinking for a moment and say, what was the proposal for the other one? Notice the differences and the similarities. Verse 31. Again, he went out from the region of Tyre and came through Sidon and the Sea of Galilee within the region of Decapolis. Once again, just happenstance? I don't believe that. I believe he was guided and directed, for all things are done according to God's will. Now notice this in verse 32. They brought to him one who was deaf and spoke with difficulty and implored him to lay his hand on him. Totally different. Here these friends brought this one before the Lord and said, "Please lay your hand on him." The other woman just said, "Lord, speak the word and the evil spirit will be gone." This individual who was brought before the Lord was asked by his helpers, and the Lord was supposed to do something, but notice it said, "Please lay your hands on him." They're giving him a little more direction as far as how they would like the healing to take place. So in one instance, you have this woman who just asks for the evil spirit to be gone. In another instance, you have these friends who bring the deaf and individual who has trouble speaking before the Lord. And they said, "Lay your hands on him." So we see that the proposals for both individuals were a little bit different. But now let's look and see what the power is like from the healer towards these proposals. Once again, let's go back and think about the Greek woman who is asking in behalf of the little daughter in verse 29. And we're going to watch and see the power of the healer. Verse 29, and he said to her, Jesus said to her, because of this answer, remember the answer she said is, oh, we can benefit from even the crumbs that are dropped. We get fed from the crumbs that were dropped. And he said to her, because of this answer, go. The demon has gone out of your daughter. The power of the Lord Jesus Christ, the healer, was manifested in a simple word. He never met the girl. He never saw the girl. There was never a request that he come to the house or see her or whatever else. But the healing took place by the mighty power of the Word of God. He just spoke the Word and it happened. And by the way, this is the only distance of healing, or excuse me, the only instance of healing at a distance found in Mark's gospel, the only one. The word, or the Lord spoke the word, and his mercy was given to this little girl, and she was healed by a simple word. And then in verse 30, it says, and going back to her home, she found the child lying on the bed and the demon having left. The power of the healer was manifested so predominantly in a special way. But there was just a word spoken. Now notice with me the power of the healer once again as we look at the individual who has the trouble speaking and who is deaf. Verse 33. Jesus took him aside from the crowd by himself, put his fingers in his ears, and after spitting, he touched his tongue with the saliva. And looking up into heaven with a deep sigh, he said to him, Ephrathah, that is, be opened. What a difference. I believe the healer could have healed this man by simply saying, okay, you can hear and you can speak. He did it for the evil spirit. Why didn't he do it here? Well, the fact is that the power of the healer is not always manifested in identically the same way. Yeah, you see what happened to Bill, but it didn't happen to Sally that way. I wonder why. It happened to someone else. Well, I saw this person healed this way, so why didn't it happen this way? The healer doesn't always heal in identically the same ways. The healer is privileged to do his healing in his own separate way so that he can honor and glorify himself and do it according to God's plan. I don't believe it's the will of everybody to be healed in exactly the same way. And I don't think we should expect that. When Jesus in verse 34 looked up into heaven, most people agree that he was praying. He was showing this individual that it was the glory of God who was going to heal him. When he had a big sigh, it's because Jesus' heart was so broken over the fallenness of mankind. When he said, be opened, it happened immediately. The word was included with works on this situation, which was a little bit different. Sometimes Jesus will use an act, and other times he will not. It's up to him. Prayer and healing, as he looked up to heaven and he sighed, and we get a glimpse into Christ and what he was thinking at these moments. The burden of sin, the trouble of mankind. He saw it from a perspective that was probably better than you or I could ever perceive. And this man's ears, in verse 35, his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was removed, and he began speaking plainly. The same outcome of the power, both were healed. It was done in different ways. And so it is that we need to be reminded of that. As we propose to the Lord our prayer requests for what we want for healing, so it is that the power will be manifested in different ways. But now let's look at the proclamation of the healer because of what he has done. The proclamation of the healer in verse 36. And he gave them orders not to tell anyone, But the more he ordered them, the more widely they continued to proclaim it. So that's the first thing they proclaimed. They proclaimed the healer, even though Jesus said, don't do it. But you know, you or I would know that if we had this great power displayed in our lives, that we'd tell people. The question that I have for us today is, are we telling, are we proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ to others? Is his healing in our life, whether it be physical or whether it be more importantly spiritual, are we sharing it with other people? Or are we silent? Verse 37, and they were utterly astonished, saying, he has done all things well. He makes even the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. The proclamation were not only that they proclaimed, but they were astonished. They were astonished at what he could do in their lives. Are you astonished over what Jesus can do in your life? The change that he can bring? The power that can be displayed in your life? Notice what it says in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor evildoers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you. They were healed. They were healed by the great God. The power was displayed to break these areas of their life. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of his God. This is what Jesus wants to do. If we come to Jesus with a proposal, he will display his power so that we can proclaim him in all the world. But we have to be careful. When we make this proposal to the healer, we need to come humbly. Absence of pride and self-reliance within our lives. We need to realize that we deserve nothing. And if he chooses to give us something, that's something special. Our requests need to come from our heart. Those individuals who brought the deaf man and that woman who brought the request for her child, it was heartfelt. It's important that we pray for one another, but that we really take it seriously. It's better that you don't pray for someone rather than tell somebody that you're going to pray and never pray. Jesus' greatest power is against sin, and we need to know that that's where his greatest power is displayed, against sin. And that's how we want to be healed in a great way. Forgiveness of sin. Jesus can answer in many ways as we tell him our requests. Don't quit asking, even in the moments of silence, but continue to request, humbly asking the Lord to handle your proposal to him. Then we can see his power. It can be displayed in many ways. It can be instant, but sometimes it takes time. It can include works done by us or other people, but at other times it can be instantaneous. His power is always displayed as an act of mercy and of grace. Remember, Jesus is praying for you. And then as we proclaim Jesus, let's speak about him, the wonders that he's done in your life and my life, the healing that he's brought in whatever level it is. Let's be astonished by him and never take him for granted. Let's be confident in him that he can handle everything we give to him. He can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants to, as long as it's according to his perfect plan. Notice also what it says in that last verse. He has done all things well. He has done all things well. That's what they were proclaiming. The question that I have for you is, do you believe all is all?
Let me hear my Savior say, your strength shall return. Then I'll rejoice in my weakness as I lean on your grace. As I lean on your grace. May your power rest on me. You are strong. Make your